So I'm going to pick up where Melanie left off with her presentation. She focused more on student consumption levels with regards to collaborative membership and the vendors. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about other possible factors that could affect consumption. So once again, our evaluation goals included measuring the effect of the Healthy School Food Collaborative, informing future developments and direction of the collaborative, providing information back to the schools and the vendors to encourage intelligent decision-making around school food, and then also to expand partnerships to increase collective impact on childhood obesity. So what affects consumption besides food? Previous studies have found that factors such as diversity of food choices, eating space, food attractiveness, and even friendliness of the cafeteria staff can all affect students' likelihood to consume more of their lunch. Some other school policy factors that may encourage or hinder student consumption include the presence or absence of vending machines or other competitive foods, silent or social lunch policies, and then also such things as cafeteria advertisements and signage. And ultimately, it could be a combination of all of these factors, along with vendor and collaborative membership, that could influence higher or lower consumption in certain groups than others. And we plan to do further analyses to find out just how much each of these factors does influence consumption. So as you can see here, we kept in mind these other factors, and we decided to expand our methodology from phase one in 2013 to phase two in 2014. And we decided to add on some additional data collection measures, including a fidelity monitoring tool, a student satisfaction survey, an environmental scan of the cafeterias, and then also a round of student focus groups. So I'll go into these a little bit more in depth. So the first tool that we added is the fidelity monitoring tool, which was collected each day in the lunchrooms by our research assistants, and they used a mobile Qualtrics app on a tablet to collect this every day. And this really allowed us to see how often the food items that were actually served in the cafeteria matched the planned monthly menus that were provided to us by the vendors. And then it also acted as a feedback loop and provided some intel to the program as well as to the vendors on how the services were actually operating in the lunchroom. And then some of the main indicators there that we collected were whether or not the entree, the fruit, and the vegetable matched the published menu, the cleanliness of the food prep area, friendliness of cafeteria staff, silent versus social lunch, recess, and the timing of recess, whether it was before or after lunch, and then also the method of serving food to students. Our second tool was a student satisfaction survey, which was administered to all fourth and fifth grade students at all eight participating schools. And this was to gauge their average satisfaction with their school lunch. It was administered once at the beginning of the data collection period and then once again towards the end. And we asked students, and you can see here, this is actually the survey. So we asked students about their willingness to try new foods, their ability to recognize foods that are served to them, their overall satisfaction with food items, whether or not they're still hungry after lunch, and their satisfaction with the amount of time that they were given to eat. And actually, we were able to keep the survey short, so we actually administered it to students within a 5 to 10 minute period during the lunch period. Another tool that we used was the environmental scan. So this was conducted twice during the data collection period as well by an LPHI staff member, once at the beginning of the data collection period and once towards the end. This tool allowed us to survey environmental factors that might affect consumption rates, such as cafeteria lighting, eating space and comfort, any advertisements or promotional posters in the lunchroom, the presence of vending machines or other competitive foods, and access to water. And this is what part of it looked like. This is the water access and comfort sections of the environmental scan. And then finally, we did a series of student focus groups as a follow-up to the satisfaction surveys. And this was done after the data collection period was completed towards the end of the school year. And so at this time, two schools were really, we did the focus groups in schools that at that point allowed us to enter to their schools. And so being that it was towards the end of the school year, that kind of was a tricky time of year. So we ended up just doing it at two schools. And what this allowed us to do was to probe further on some of the survey questions and gain a better understanding of student satisfaction through open discussion. And so we asked students what their favorite foods were, what they would change about the lunch, and many other questions, and they seemed to be really interested and very animated. And it really was an interesting process, and it gave them a chance to be engaged in the evaluation and give them a voice in the process. So next up, I'll be going over some of our preliminary results from the tools that I just mentioned. And keep in mind that these results are not yet controlling for HSFC membership, vendor, or school, and those are all things that we plan to look into in further analyses. So I'm happy to report that on 100% of data collection days, there were clean dining area floors, clean serving areas, clean serving utensils, and clean kitchen area counters. So this chart actually shows food items, how often that food items that were actually served in the cafeteria matched the published monthly menus that were released by the vendors. And so you can see that there's some variation across vendors. And research assistants were pretty strict when they were assessing this. So anytime that the menu items didn't match, the menu was not posted, that served items were delayed due to school closures, or if there were fewer items served than listed on the published menu, they were listed as not matching. And so why is this important? Parents and students, they might plan around the monthly lunch menu, or if students decide not to bring their lunch one day because they're having chicken nuggets and they love chicken nuggets, this could present a problem. Also, it holds the vendors accountable for what they promised to serve and also gives them feedback about what's actually going on in the cafeteria. And then it also has multiple implications for us as the data collectors because it's really important for us to plan what we're going to be measuring on any given day. And it could be anything from as simple as measuring a chicken breast to deconstructing a taco. So that's really important for us as well, and it's important for us to plan ahead of time so that we can standardize our methods across schools. So the next thing that we looked at was how the daily and not monthly menu was shared. The USDA regulation requires, that schools post the lunch menu for the month, but previous studies have indicated that engaging cafeteria staff more and having them announce or post the daily menu could impact student consumption. So we wanted to see if this was already occurring in the schools and then if having a separate daily posting was correlated with higher consumption. So what we found was that the daily menu was posted or announced only about 26% of the time, but when it was, the average consumption of the entree and the veggie was higher. Another indicator we looked at was to assess cafeteria staff engagement as well. How was the food served to students? So was it served to them individually? Was it actually put on their tray by the cafeteria service worker? Or was it already on a tray and students just came by and grabbed the tray? So what we found was that students were being served about 77% of the time, and that when they were, consumption was higher across the board for every food item. We looked at whether or not students were allowed to talk. So the three categories that we created were silent lunch, which means they were silent the entire lunch period, social, which means they were allowed to talk freely during the entire lunch period, and then silent punitive, which was a social lunch that was interrupted for at least 1 minute with silent periods. And we found that 61% of the time that students were allowed to have social lunches. And what we found with consumption was overall social lunch was correlated with higher consumption. It's important to note here that schools that consistently use silent lunches were also within vendors 1 and 2, which had lower consumption numbers overall compared to vendor 3. So that's something that we need to look at in further analyses. We also saw that when recess occurred as planned about 75% of the time, during those times, we saw higher consumption of the entree, milk, and the vegetable categories when students ate lunch after recess. And then here we're getting into the student satisfaction survey results. So we found that most students say that they like the taste of the lunch that's served, but however, more than half of them say that they're still hungry after lunch. Only about half of them say that they can name all the foods served for lunch. And then also, students at schools with longer average lunch times said that they feel like they have enough time to eat lunch compared to those that had shorter lunch times. And these are some quotes from our student focus groups. We had a lot of really great responses, but these are ones that we found that came out most often and that were most telling for us. So the first one is, sometimes I don't know their names, referring to the food, but then their name, when you see it, it doesn't look like what I'm used to. Another one said, one way to improve our school lunch is not having it in a package, like not in a package, but actually on a plate. And so I think where this comes from is some of our vendors would serve certain foods in plastic packages, and they would have to remove the plastic on the top. And so they were saying that they prefer to have their food served to them on a plate. Another student said, by the time I put my hand down from being quiet, it's time to go, and I didn't have any time to eat. So this is really telling and goes back to what we were saying about the silent punitive methods used. Another thing that was really common that students said was that when they would try to bring competitive foods or snacks into the school, the unhealthy ones were confiscated by teachers and staff, and then the teachers and staff would then eat the foods in front of them. And so they were really adamant about the fact that if they're supposed to eat healthy, then the teachers should too, and they should practice what they preach. So what we've seen overall from these results is that student consumption can be affected at various levels in the lunch period and the lunch process, and that there are many ways to improve HSSC programming via some of the recommendations that I've listed here. It could be helpful for vendors to have a feedback loop that allows them to see fidelity monitoring in real time and to hear about which food students prefer so that they can serve them more often. And then also feedback on how to improve food presentation. Another way would be to engage cafeteria staff in the lunchroom more by having them serve students individually, to have them announce the menu or help students better understand what it is that they're eating and what they're being served. There's also implications for school policy change related to social and silent lunch, the timing of recess, the length of lunchtime, and a healthy food policy for teachers so that they stick to what they're preaching. And then last but certainly not least, studies have shown that it can take some time for students and all people to adopt and maintain new eating habits. And so some nutrition education for students would really help here to help increase consumption. Students reported in the satisfaction surveys that when they know what a food is, they're more likely to eat it. So this could be really helpful. And then, of course, as Melanie mentioned earlier, some additional analyses to figure out just how much each of these factors is affecting consumption. And that's it. Any questions?